The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
In Jesus' name we pray. Do you want to shout a big amen? Can we have our seat? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we ready for the word of God? Try that again. Are you ready for God's word? Amen. So we continue with our teaching series. It's a wonderful month that we are having. What is happening to you in this month? Have you been experiencing it? You know, many of you, and I've received a lot of testimonies, and I can confidently say that for many of us, in so many situations of our lives, we've moved from God will work it out to God has worked it out. And that has become many of our testimonies. And I tell you, even much more, you'll begin to see much more testimonies. Because God is actually working it out. Hallelujah. So the choir ministering that song this evening is to remind you again that God is actually working. Amen. So I told us we've been on this series, Ruda. Right? Ruda. And that is that we are discussing the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. Maybe you're wondering why we're using the word Ruda to discuss the power of the tongue. And that's simply because, okay, the tongue is the Ruda of your life. In other words, your tongue is what controls your life. Your tongue is the steering of your life. What determines where you will end up in your life is where your tongue carries you to. And I've said it again and again that contrary to what many people think that it is their feet that will take them to where they are going to. But actually, well, your feet can take to where you are going to, but what determines where you will end is where your tongue carries you to. And I give an example with the steering of a car. When you look at the car has, you have the car tires. You might actually think it is the tire that is taking the car to where it is going to. But in reality, it is the steering of the car that directs where the car will go to. And so we saw that in James chapter 3, where the Bible likened the tongue to the rudder that controls a sheep. And amazingly, he's talking about sheep, like sheep. Do you know how big a sheep is? As big as that sheep is, the rudder is a small piece of metal that just turns this way, turns that way. And once it begins to turn, the sheep follows where it is turning to. And that's how your life, your tongue is. As big as your life is, as big as your dreams are, as big as your future is, it is your tongue that will control where you are going to. Are you following me, friends? It's your tongue. And like I say all the time, this is not some positive confession message. This is actually teaching you how life functions. And I've shown you that your tongue can affect every aspect of your life. We've seen, for instance, that your tongue can affect God. Don't we're looking at it on a Sunday. How that many people do not get what they're looking for from God because they've not learned how to use their tongue. For instance, people are expecting miracles, and then when it's like there's a little delay, they begin to murmur, they begin to complain, they begin to wonder, why is this not working? That thing will talk them out of whatever God wants to give them. So after they begin to complain that God did not answer them, whereas with their tongue, they talk themselves out of God's miracle. And I showed you, and I want to say this very importantly, the way you use your tongue is a major, major, major proof of your spiritual growth. Major, major proof of a spiritual growth. You know, when we talk about spiritual growth, there are many things people use to measure spiritual growth. But in reality, those are not the things that depict spiritual maturity. But say, are you spiritually mature? Say, yes, how do you know? Say, if I pray for you here. Well, prayer will happen in spiritual growth. But that's not the major thing I use. There are a few other things. We can talk about love walk. Okay? But then, another thing we can talk about is what I'm talking about this evening now. How you use your tongue. James mentioned in James chapter 3. He said, verse 2. He said, we offend in many things. He said, but if any man offend not with the tongue, the same is a perfect man. Give me that verse in New Living Translation. If any man does not offend with the tongue, the same is a perfect man. Indeed, all things. For if we would control our lives, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. If we could control our tongues, then we will be perfect. So you want to see a perfect, by perfect in this context, talking about maturity. You want to see a mature Christian listening to what he says, listening to how he talks, listening to how he addresses situations, listening to how he talks when things are bad, listening to how things are good, listening to how he talks between people. Then you are seeing a very mature person. I know what I'm saying. Speaking in your tongue is fruit of the Spirit. The sign of spiritual maturity is not just a manifestation of gifts, it's also in how you walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You see what I'm saying now? Controlling your tongue is called self-control. It's not a gift. We can't put it on you by laying on of hands. It's a fruit of the Spirit. That, you see those fruit, that fruit of the Spirit, love, whatever, those is listed there. Galatians 5, 23, those is listed there are the things you can use to measure how much spiritual progress you are making. Just say that again. Galatians 5, 22, 23 are the things you can use to measure your spiritual progress. What is number one? Love. So you want to see how much progress you are making spiritually, check your love walk. How easy is it for you to forgive? I feel what I'm saying. How easy is it for you to walk in love, to be kind, to let go of things? That's what you look at. See, so it mentions love, it mentions joy. How often do you flow in joy? How often are you joyful? Are you following me? Amen. And of course mentions peace. So all those things, you see joy, you see peace, you see self-control, for instance. When things are bad, how do you talk? When emotions are high, how do you react? Those are the things you use to measure spiritual maturity. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, fruits of the Spirit, I have to mention it that way so that it can be grammatically correct. However, the Bible calls it fruit of the Spirit. It says it's fruits. Give me Galatians 5:22. He doesn't call it fruits. He calls it fruit. Amazingly, he mentions fruit. That's singular. And then he begins to mention many things. Right? Are you saying that? Fruit. Then he says love, peace, joy. Because in reality, it's just one fruit we are talking about here. This is one fruit that has, the major fruit of the Spirit is love, actually. In love, there is joy, there is peace, there is long-suffering. I agree what I'm saying? There is self-control. It's a fruit the Spirit has produced in us. So what we need to learn is how to walk in them. One of those ways to walk in them is what I'm sharing with you this evening. Knowing how to control your tongue. So, what you're expecting from God does not come when you're expecting it. How will you talk? That's a sign that you're growing spiritually. I get what I'm saying now. Mm-hmm. When we're looking at the first day, you know, your account balance is shaking. What are you going to do? That's the sign there. So, you look at how people talk, you can tell how their lives are. I've showed many things. One of the major reasons why you should mind what you say is because God actually listens to what you say. You know, we said as we started, God does. He said, tell the children of Israel what I have heard them say in my ear. That's what I'm going to do. So God pays attention to what you say. I showed you on the first day, angels pay attention to what you say. When that angel came to meet Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, he told him, from the first day you began to pray, I heard you. He said, I have
outcome for your words. In other words, Daniel, what brought me here are the things you are saying. So when you begin to murmur, angels, I can also add demons listen to your words. Because angels and demons are just fallen angels. So they operate the same way. So when you begin to speak words of life, words of faith, words of hope, angels you are giving them raw materials to work with. When you begin to speak defeat, begin to speak fear, you are inviting demons. Let me tell you, any place where there is so much worry, fear being spoken in that place, I am mature enough to tell you, without even listening to God, there is satanic oppression in that place. Yes. Anywhere I get to, that's why, did you observe? When Jesus came to raise Jairus' daughter, everybody was complaining. Everybody was crying. Jesus sent them out. Because that atmosphere where there is complaining, murmuring, what have you, cannot help that miracle to happen. So he sent all of them out of the room and worked the miracle in there. And I've had to do that many times when I go to pray for people. Yeah. Just get, I say, you just leave. Let's pray. As soon as they wonder, why are you sending us out? Because there is so much unbelief in the atmosphere. So I just say, you just get out. Let's pray. Then you come back. I read and Duomak shared his testimony. They were in a church, a very small church. They brought a blind person and he prayed and prayed, and the guy was, he was showing his spirit that God's power was, but the guy wasn't getting well. So he said, well, how many of you believe that this guy is going to get healed? You tell me sincerely. You know, white folks are actually very sincere people. Yeah, so people that believe, raise their hand. He said, thank you very much. You that do not believe, out of the church. He sent them out, say, just give us a minute and you come back. Send them out, lock the door, open the guy's blind eye, open the door, they came back. Because that atmosphere of joy and faith helps the miraculous to happen. So when you are in your personal life, you're expecting that things will change, but every time your mouth is just saying all the crazy things, things are not going to change. Things are not going to change. Amen. So you want to see changes, you're waiting for admission, you're writing a new exam, you are starting a new business, your salary, the threat, all of those, make sure the way you use your tongue does not contradict what you're expecting from God. Even if in reality, it's not looking like it. Because a man will eat good by the fruit of his lips. That's what the Bible said. He said, the man that loves life and will see good days, let him refrain his tongue that he speak no guile. So if his tongue keeps speaking guile, even though he loves life and wants to see good days, he will not see those things. Because it's not about what you love, it's about what you say. And somebody is going to say to me, sir, you've been emphasizing speaking. All this, life's not all about speaking. If you are speaking and you're not working, nothing is going to happen to you. Well, let me just answer you very quickly. You must learn to take God's word as it is coming to you. The day we are going to teach on hard work and diligence from God's work, we will teach on it. We are talking about using your tongue now. So, and this message is not actually saying you should not work hard. You get the point? It's just saying to your hard work, add this. Because with hard work, and you don't add the right use of your tongue, you are going to fail. Because you're not the hardest worker. Say amen. Amen. You will fail. At the best you'll be is average. You can't be wiser than God's wisdom. The best you'll be is average. Because eventually people reap the fruit of what they say. And they begin to complain, I don't know how I got here. But you've spoken yourself to this place all the while. And they don't say, stop lying, you know how you got here. You are in school for 4 years in the university, you kept saying repeatedly, at every given opportunity, that Nigeria is rubbish, that school is scam, that there is no job in this country, that there are no jobs anywhere, that even if you finish school, the best you can be is to be selling perfume on Instagram, that you keep saying that. Then after 4 years of consistent confession, you now finish school and start applying for a job. There are no jobs in Nigeria, sir. You said. I feel what I'm saying. You said. Now, it's not like God is punishing you. You said there are no jobs. You know, that one story that I always tell you guys that, you know, every time I share it, it comes fresh. Is that Brother Hagin's story. He said there was this young man that was sick. He said he kept going to pray for the guy. He would go pray. He was not getting any better. He said he kept going and going and going until eventually the guy died. And so when he died, the family told him, well, you know, you've been very close. You've been around. You've been here for us. When this guy was going through all he went through, could you please officiate his burial?" And he said, "Oh, well, that's okay." So he officiated the burial. He said, after the burial, as they were driving back, the brother of the guy said, "You know, there's something strange about this, my brother's death." But because Brother Higgins said, every time he goes to pray for that guy, he will hear from God. God will tell him, words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have gone into motion, which at this point cannot be reversed. He said he kept hearing that. He didn't know what to make of it. But after the burial, the guy said, "Something about this, my brother's death." That my brother kept saying that, he kept saying it jokingly, seriously at every time, that actually before he is 40, that he will be gone. He said he kept saying that. He said the funny thing about it is that my brother turned 40 this year. Immediately he said that, but like he said, he remembered words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have gone into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. It's what I'm saying now. And so when he was praying and shouting, he was praying and he was fighting against the words that the man has spoken about himself. And guess you don't know, you are a prophet over your own life. And so the words you say about yourself are not even, that my words are not more powerful than your words over your own life. That's why when we pray for you, we say you should say amen. Amen is that you agree with what I said. So when you come to church and you don't talk, you are actually repelling every prayer we are praying for you. Because you have to permit what I'm saying to work in your life. And how you permit is with your words. Are you getting what I'm talking about this evening? So when people come to church and they say, "Shout a big amen," and they're just very quiet. They think that they are being strong. No, they are actually saying, they're actually taking a position towards every prayer being prayed in church. They're taking a position. Say, "But God sees my heart." God didn't say he will read your heart. He said he wants you to talk. Are you following me, friends? Even in salvation, he said, "If you shall believe with your heart and confess with your mouth." That's how it works. So when I pray for you, your life this year, you shall explode. And after shouting amen in church, you step out of the street. Start saying, this country. And so it be that politicians that just say they are ripping us off. Nothing is going to work. See, that's what is going to happen for you. Are you following me? Now, are you supposed to be denying reality? No. You are supposed to actually exalt the reality of God's word above your current realities. So, I'm not going to tell you I'm sick. I'm not going to say, "You know what? I'm not sick." But I can tell you confidently that yes, I still feel some pains, but the power of God is working mightily in me. What am I doing? I'm exalting the reality of God's word. So, I can tell you, well, indeed, the way the country is going, politicians are not doing well. There are no jobs. But I can tell you confidently, it's not for me. I am going to get a job once I finish. I say the job I'm going to get. I can keep saying it until it happens. Are you following me, friends? When Jesus died, I don't know why I'm doing this recap. I've not entered today's teaching. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, Mary and the other women went there to look for him at the tomb. And the angel asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said, "I'm looking for Jesus of Nazareth." The angel told them, "He is not here. He is risen as he said." Emphasis on "as he said." In other words, Jesus has been saying that he will rise. And eventually when he died, he rose. So Jesus also used the power of spoken words to ensure that his resurrection happened. And that shouldn't be strange to you. How did this whole world come into being? God said, "Let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be this." When Jesus was going to die, how did he make sure he would rise from death? He kept saying. So when we're talking and we're speaking for God's word, we're not just wishing ourselves good. You know what I'm saying? We are speaking what must happen. Remember that word last week? What's that word? Huh? Tell your neighbor. Katagine. Okay. Where did we get that word from? Huh? What verse? Hebrew. I'm helping you. Chapter 11. That's the faith chapter now. Hebrew it on the screen, please. Hebrew 11, verse 3. Hebrew 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the walls we are framed by the word of God. That word framed is that Greek word katatizo. It means to to adjust. The whole world, we are framed, adjusted, built. Hallelujah. Completed thoroughly. It also means to repair by the word of God. So when you put God's word on your lips, it can frame your life. It can readjust your life. And so you learn that today, that you don't use your words. Not just in the aspect of faith, like we are discussing now, but in every other aspect. You don't murmur. Today I'm going to talk about the power of your tongue in respect to your relationships. You see, friend, the way you use your tongue will show whether your relationship with people will do well or whether they won't do well. There are three things I'm going to warn you just briefly today before we close that you must not use your tongue to do if you are going to have a very healthy relationship with people. Because again, the way your tongue is the rudder of your life, your tongue is also the rudder of your relationships. Many relationships have broken up. I'm not just talking about marital relationships. Pastor, member, friends, lecturer, students, every kind of relationship can be sustained if we understand the proper use of our tongue. The first thing you must not do with your tongue, as basic as this, is to lie. Lying will destroy relationships. Before we even get to that, lying is even a sin. Okay, so you don't lie. You know, one thing lie does is that when you begin to tell lies, you're destroying trust. You know, you're destroying trust. Once you lie to someone, a person finds out that you've lied, you've messed with trust. And once you mess with trust, the statement I want to make, and I also want to correct Christians about that. This is not my teaching. People say once trust is broken, it cannot be rebuilt. Please stop saying that. Okay, of course, when trust is broken, it is difficult to rebuild it. But you can't keep saying that when trust is broken, it cannot be rebuilt. Because in this life, many people that you need in your life will break your trust at different points. And you must learn to forgive and rebuild the trust. Say amen. That you believe is the reason why the trust they've broken, you've not been able to rebuild it. Now, I'm a good person. I may forgive. If you break my trust, I'll forgive you. The only thing is, don't expect that when you break my trust, that I'm going to forgive you and start trusting you tomorrow. What it simply means that when someone breaks your trust, okay, maybe through lie or something, you shouldn't, of course, throw your hands open and then, but then you should give the person time to prove himself. Because sometimes, I don't know why God is putting this in my heart very strongly. Sometimes people say, my trust has been broken because of one bad thing someone did. Then you forget the other 99 things the person has done that have been correct. So be very careful. I get what I'm saying? Because you too have broken people's trust. If you've even broken your own trust, are there not things you've done and you say, let me do this one? Are you get what I'm talking about now? But then back to the message, lying is one thing that will mess relationships. So let's work with the screen. Exodus 20 and verse 6. Exodus 20 verse 6. Okay. Did I get that right? Okay, skip that. Get what I'm looking for. Leviticus 19 verse 11. Leviticus 19 verse 11. Glory to God. He said, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. You should not lie to people. I don't think this needs a very spiritual message. You should not lie to people. Don't you think so? Give me another translation of this. I don't think we need to give Hebrew or Greek. Do not lie. Do not steal. Do not deceive or cheat on another. And I like the fact that this translation uses deception. Because sometimes people lie to people not by what they say, but by how they act. It's still a lie. Do you know if you're not sleeping in this, or if you are not sleeping, and I walk in and you pretend to make me believe you are sleeping, you know you just told me a lie. Because the aim was to make me believe something that is not true. So you don't just tell lies, you also act lies. Amen. You don't agree? We should agree. You should agree. Because the end point is deception. Don't deceive people. Message says, don't see, don't lie, don't deceive anyone. And it's one thing that will mess relationships up. I've seen marriages founded on lies. Founded on lies. You meet people. I'm not saying when you meet people, you should tell them everything about you. That's foolishness. But if we are about to progress to the next level, and there are very important questions, right? You better say the truth. If not, in the future, those lies you've told will become what the devil used to mess with the relationship. Say the truth. And personally, I kind of think that things founded on lies are not real. I don't want to say something here. When you build, if you build an entire marriage on lies, that's not a marriage. That's not marriage. Do you understand? I mean, I'm not saying you can. There are no lies, but I mean, build an entire thing on lie, on falsehood. For instance, someone is not a Christian, is a Muslim and pretends to be a Christian and joins a church and then marries the girl and says, "Tala, I'm a Muslim." That's not marriage. Yeah, but that's not marriage. You know, these things can mess. If you want a relationship to last, you must have a culture of truth. And to start with, if you are with someone that you cannot freely tell the truth, it means there is no trust in that relationship. One sign that there is trust is that you can say the truth and you can predict how the person will act. And you can tell that the person will not kill you if you say the truth. Are you following me, friends? So he said, do not lie to people. Ephesians 4:25. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have, you're putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now he's talking about in the church. You don't tell lies. You don't tell. I was thinking that you don't tell lies to people. You don't even tell lies about people. Our generation thrives on lies, because lies will sell faster than the truth. So we can even forge an entire story about someone and share those lies, and then people are deceived. You don't lie to people you love. You don't lie to relationships you want to protect. You don't have a culture of, and I told you something about lying. If you keep lying, if you have a culture of lying, it's not be long, you begin to do badly with the miraculous. Because the more you keep lying, the more you are instructing your heart to believe a particular thing. You are instructing your heart, because you know when you are lying, your heart knows you are lying. So if you tell yourself not to believe the things you say, even when you start before a sickness, you are saying, "Oh, sickness be healed," your heart doesn't even agree with what you are saying. Because it's a pattern you've created. You see what I'm saying? Do not build that habit. Say the truth. Say the truth. You want a relationship to last, say the truth. How are things? This is how things are. Say the truth. Are you following me? We are for putting away, like I like the way he said, putting away. It's a constant thing you must be doing. Keep dealing with lies. As long as you found out there is a problem you have, make up your mind today to deal with that matter. You know, have you found that sometimes you lie? It's after lying that you ask yourself, why did I tell this lie? Nothing would have happened if I said the truth. Has it ever happened to anybody here? It's just there. Just the natural instinct to say, no, it's not true. But somehow, after everything, you wonder, if I said it, nobody will beat me. As long as we even lie in church. Amen. You lie in church. You lie in school. Why didn't you win your assignment? You say, I did it, but I forgot it. That's a big lie. You didn't do it. And problem is, the lecturer knows you're lying because he also told the lie. Let me tell you, build a culture, because that's actually how to make yourself trustworthy. Be someone that once it comes from your mouth, we can take it to the bank. Because some of the people shout, trust me, trust me, trust me where you are lying. Trust me where we can't trust the things you say. Now, personally, I'm a person of words. In my relationships, everybody around me knows that. I actually believe, if anybody tells me, do you know I heard this person, the person I'm going to do is to ask you, did you do it? I believe people's words. So if I can't trust your words, I can't work with you. I want to be able to hear that. Did you hear that this person stole 10 million? And I call and say, did you see 10 million? And you say yes or no. Now, if we are friends or anything, and I cannot trust those things, don't worry, our relationship is already having issues. Don't bother about that. I want to be able to trust what you say. That when I hear it from you, I can tell people, this person said that to me. I'm a person of words, through and through. I believe, actually, I don't know whether it's right. I'm just saying, I believe words more than actions. Personally, and maybe I have to work on that, but that's me. What you say to me carries more weight than everything anybody's saying to me. I agree what I'm saying. So, if you begin to lie to people, and there are many people like that, train yourself to be someone that once you say something, we can swear and say that is very correct. Colossians 3 verse 9. Colossians 3 verse 9. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lie not to one another. Why? Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So because it, now look at this verse. This verse did not say you should put off the old man. Is that what he said? Look at it. Did he say you should put off the old man? What did he say? You have put off. So he's trying to tell you your state. Your state is that you have put off the old man because you are born again. Now, because you put off the old man, what is one sign, one proof that you've put off the old man? Lie not to one another. I know in church we preach a lot about fornication. We preach a lot about murder. We preach a lot about Yahoo. We preach a lot about hookup. And those things are sins. But can I say this to you? Lying is also as much sin as all those things are. Are you following what I'm saying? Lying. And even there are pastors that even lie on the pulpit. Like blatant lies. Something that never happened. They're telling lies. Sometimes they even tell lies of their own personal experience. If I came here, I was praying for 18 hours. Are you sure? What is the point? Who are you trying to impress? I feel what I'm saying now. Are you following me? Exaggerations. No, we were having that program and about 8 blind people saw. But we were in the program. We didn't see the 8 blind people. So what are you trying to say? The man of God sharing a story. So he was younger in faith. A friend of his, they put up a meeting. The meeting held. It was supposed to be a miracle service. I said people got healed. He himself was so blessed in the meeting. In fact, he even stayed back after the meeting. They were packing up this. He stayed. They packed up everything. So he was so happy. He went to. The next friend met him. I was like, man, did you see that meeting? They said, yeah. So blessed. So he started telling him the testimonies from the meeting. So you remember, you know, that meeting. No, you didn't stay to the end. You know, when you left, miracles started happening. Even blind people saw. He said, in his mind, but I stayed to the end. When did you leave? He said, I left. He said, I stayed there. I left after you left. When did the miracles happen? Let me tell you, you don't need to help God with telling lies. Because he can actually do those things. So why are you trying to say he did where he didn't do it? And sometimes no blind person saw because no blind person came. Don't you think so? No dead person rose because no dead person was there. So why is that a problem? So you want to kill somebody and arrest the person? No dead person was there. Everybody was alive. So how could man say the dead person rose? Exaggerations are lies too. That's what I'm trying to say. Exaggerations are lies. I have some of my sons that I deal with over this matter. How many were we in church? How many? You say, we are roughly about 60. Mm-mm. How many were we? Not was roughly about how many? Say, well, 53. How is 53 roughly 60? No, you can't. No. Mind how you use your tongue. Because worst thing to this is to even lie to yourself. So if you even lie to themselves to the point that they start believing the things they're telling themselves. They lie so much and they now believe the lie. They can tell, I tell you this happened. To a point that even they've acted it in their mind so much that they now believe it. If you have a problem, say, do you want to enter a marital relationship? Now, don't begin to share your life with the person where you guys are doing talking stage. That's another foolish thing people do. They are doing ordinary talking stage. How are you? I want to get to know you. Say, let me tell you, in 2006, nobody asks your life history. But then, when it is advancing, we are done praying. You've prayed, I've prayed. We've agreed that we want to do something. You can begin to say some things. I'm not saying you should begin to tell everything about your life because nobody can actually tell everything about his life to anybody. Because it has been 21 years or 28 years before you met the person. So you can't tell every detail. But if there are specific, sensitive things that you think might come up, talk about them. And don't lie. I feel what I'm saying. Now, if you talk about it and the person cannot handle it, the person should go. Now, I'm not saying what you guys are doing, I love you, I love you. I mean, when you people are serious, like you want to marry, It's not like I'll marry you in the next 3 years. You people now want to marry, like want to marry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Lies are not necessary. And there are many things people do these days. See, the world is going in a way that you can even tell lies today and survive. Yeah. You know, I was talking about some guys meet ladies and say, you know, personally, you know, ladies say, I'm a virgin. Let me even say something to you. It's a good thing as a woman to marry as a virgin. Is that okay? If you are here, you're still a virgin, keep it and make sure you marry as one. But let me say to brothers, if your criteria for marrying anybody, that person is a virgin or not, you're going to marry a bad wife. Did you hear what I said? I'm just trying to help you. Just say, I'm not going to marry anybody. And that second thing I want to say to you is, I hope you are. Bro. Well, I'm saying this because what limits virginity to talk, the lies are increasing. Do you know a lady can tell you she's a virgin? And I heard there are things you can do to your body now. And then your hymen is going to grow back. And you'll be a virgin again. So they can actually tell you a lie and back it up. And somebody's considering that. So, am I supposed to meet someone I want to marry and begin to tell the person, here are the list of people I've slept with? Nkechi? Ngorie? No. But then, if there is a question like, I say, yes, I've had some things in the past. Talk about that. Don't come and start lying and say, no, you are my wife. I've never even, no man. Mm-mm. I feel I'm talking about here now. So that tomorrow, hallelujah, be very sincere. Are you still here? Proverbs 21, verse 6. Proverbs 21 and verse 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. This is the problem with being a Yahoo boy. Because you are getting treasure through a lying tongue. You are getting treasure through a lying tongue. You are lying to a woman that's in the US, that you love her. That you are coming to marry her. And she's sending you money. He said, that's anything wrong. I'm just being smart. You're being a liar. A big one. NLT said, wealth created by a lying tongue is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap. A vanishing. And that's why actually every cash you make through scam will always vanish. You have to keep making more for it to stay. That's how it works. Amen. Amplified Classic said, securing treasures by a lying tongue is a vapor driven to and fro. Those who seek them seek death. So you want to keep a relationship, you must know how to be sincere. Even with your pastor. I can't forget the day, because I've been following my pastor for a very long time. But the day I actually made a call, I told him, sir, daddy, you know, I want to officially tell you that I want to be your son. He said, you're already a son now. You know, and he told me something. He said, there is what I call the unpardonable sin in fatherhood. He said, you know what it is? I said, no. He said, it's insincerity. I don't think he remembers this, but that's his talk to me. I said, insincerity is the unpardonable sin. And for real, you know the meaning of that? If you steal and you tell me as your father that you stole, I can help you break out of stealing. But if you steal and told me you did not steal, just like going to meet your doctor and the doctor says, do you have headache? Say no. And you really have headache? Say no, I don't have headache. So what is wrong with you? Just small pain on my leg, but it's cool. Now he's going to give you drugs for small pain on your leg. Whereas you have migraine headache. That's why insincerity will break any father-son relationship. It will. Ask Elisha and Gehazi. You know, if Gehazi had come back and they say, what did you go say? Daddy, sorry. I went to collect gifts. You know, the thing entered my eye. He might just serve suspension. They might give him 3 days fasting. Don't you understand? They might discipline him. But he said, I've not been anywhere. I just did. See, every day he said, nowhere. Elisha said, did not my spirit go with you? Say, from now, leprosy has come upon you. Now, I do not know whether Gehazi stayed leprous all his life. I don't want to go into that particular topic. But I don't think he did. Because later in the Bible, when that woman that Elijah raised her son from the dead, was coming to meet the king. Do you remember the story? Gehazi was sitting with the king, telling the king about the miracles of Elisha. Now, if he was leprous, he would not be able to sit before the king. Sorry for another day. But the end point is that particular lie disconnected him from that Elisha followership. That was the end. He never continued in that relationship. You see what I'm saying now? So I'm not talking about the fact that if you lie, you may die. No, but he may disconnect from very important things. And I asked Safira, how much do you sell the land? He says, it's 10 naira. And Peter asked a very important question. Before you sold that land belonged to you. After you sold it, that money belonged to you. So what was the point? But so that's your life for nothing. I get what I'm saying. So my dad said to me, I can't forget it, he said, insincerity. And that thing has stayed in my head. Insincerity. You a murderer, a pastor can help you. You a fornicator, a pastor can help you. Are you aware? You are a thief. The secrets that pastors bear in their mind are plenty. I've counseled people, and I kid you not, in the office, who I know some terrible things that they've done. If I mention it, they're going to jail that same day. And I can never tell you. We can fix everything. I feel what I'm saying now. But, sir, if you lie about your problem, we can't help you because we cannot solve a problem we don't know about. I get what I'm saying now. You have a problem with sexual promiscuity. You find yourself sleeping with every guy, every lady. They ask you, say, no, I'm fine. You're looking at me, I'm very clean. How do we help you? You've resisted hell by telling that lie. Are you following what I'm saying now? That's why anybody that can stand for his pastor and lie is a dangerous person. You see this? You see your pastor? You see your doctor? Anybody that can face his doctor and lie about his health wants to die. You see what I'm saying? Anybody that can face his lawyer, your lawyer is defending you over a matter. And they said, tell me everything. You say, no, that's not what happened. You're a dangerous person. Because that lawyer cannot help you. So there are people you don't lie to. And I can also add your friends to it. I can add your spouse to it. You don't lie to your spouse. You don't do that. We see crazy things happen all over the place. We don't do that. You know, sometimes when you begin to lie and hide things from your spouse, even things that are not meant to be issues will now become issues. You get the point? For instance, when you're married, there's nothing wrong with having... You can have a friend in the office that you guys talk to, and she's a female. You know it's possible. I'm just telling him, getting married doesn't mean your husband will not talk to anybody. So who is that person you're talking to? Tell me who the person is. No, it doesn't mean. But look at what the problem is. Then I ask you're talking to the person for your wife says, who is that person? You say, it's nobody. He's my younger brother. We are just talking about. What is the point? Now, that's not supposed to be an issue. But because you're now telling lies about what is no problem, you are not only... Will it become an issue when your wife finds out? You've actually created the avenue for the devil to thrive. Because what was never crossing your mind about that sister was not crossing your mind. Because you're now lying about it. Because sin will thrive in secrecy. That's why I tell people, people know me, you are a lady and you want to be my friend. It's okay. Just that you must agree to become a mutual friend. Me, you, and my wife, we must be friends. Now, if you want us to be friends, and my wife will not be aware of our friendship, or just there is no friendship. I can accept if you want to be a man, you're my wife's friend, it's okay, but we must be mutual friends. You know, mutual friendship. so that I know I'm seeing what you guys are talking about. So, but if you can hide some things that should not be hidden, so you're talking, no, nobody. I was playing music. Exaggerations are lies. I can also add flattery is lying. What did I say? But some people flatter. Some people are the reasons why their friends are being disgraced because they flatter them. Why not just sometimes tell your friends sincere truth? Say, no, you actually don't know how to do this. Glory to God. Amen. So it shows that in the Bible. I don't know if I have a scripture. Proverbs 29 verse 5. Proverbs 29 and verse 5.
A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. If you flatter people, you're actually setting a trap for them. Because they're going to actually ride on that flattery and they're going to destroy themselves. Are you know what I'm saying? So tell people the truth. No room for flattery. This is destroy relationships. So flattery. Proverbs 26 and verse 8. He said, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Yes. Put up like NLT of that verse. You give honor to a fool. Honoring a fool is as foolish as tying a stone to a slingshot. So you don't meet people who are not deserving of honor and you flatter them and say you're doing very well. That will be hurting them. Okay? I can maybe show you one more scripture on this. Matthew 5:37. Did not address flattery directly, but then shows us out 37, please. Matthew 5 and verse 37. How we must do relationships. It says, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. Let it be direct. If it is this, let it be that. Don't flatter people. Encourage people, but don't flatter them. Okay? I say this all the time. You want to write birthday posts for someone. There are good things about the person. Write about those things. Don't write about things that are not true. There is a sister in church that is not serious with God. We are trying to follow her up. And on her birthday, you post a picture and you say, I love your heart for God. Where is the heart? You're just trying to deceive the person. And the person would not be thinking she has a heart for God. Now, there are good things about the person you can write. Now, if you don't know what to write about the person, pray for the person. That in this new year, your love will grow stronger for the Lord. Yeah, it's better than saying you love her heart for God. Well, no, no. I know what I'm saying. Have you ever seen them write birthday posts for someone and you're wondering whether it's this person you know? You just say, ah. Well, maybe there's another side that's showing those people that I don't know. You see a total witch. Total witch. Celebrates birthday and appraises the person. Witch. Is there, I call people, that people that are witchcraft, you know, that are different expression of witchcraft. There is witchcraft that is the diabolic part. That is witchcraft that is a work of the flesh. Right? Galatians 5 tells us verse 19. It's not what it's talk for today. People are practicing pure witchcraft. And then, I love your heart for God. You are so kind. The way you carry all of us along. Most times you are trying to win favor. Flattery. And you know the problem is you are setting a trap for the person's feet. So he keeps going and doing whatever he or she is doing, thinking that things are fine. Say amen. So he must be as sincere. Now, that doesn't mean anyway that you come out on someone's birthday and start posting, she's a wicked person. No, no. I'm saying write good things about the person. Because there's something good about the person. I hope you know, right? Write that one. When you talk with people, tell them how things are. Your friend has issues with someone. And then they call you to intervene on the matter. Then after everything, you are trying to defend your friend. Well, you get into the room, tell your friend the truth. See, let me tell you, you are wrong. Well, that's the problem. We don't have friends again who want to say the truth. You are wrong. Your friend was disciplined in church for something and comes to you crying. You say, don't mind them. Don't mind who? Tell the person the truth. You shouldn't have come late. You are wrong. That is how to be a good friend. I get what I'm saying now. Go and obey what the pastor said you should do. Not disobeying it, you are wrong. Don't try to use lies to keep friends. Say, no, 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 no. I understand you. They don't see you, but I see you. You don't see nothing. You don't see nothing. You are just trying to use those flattering words to keep that friendship. Say the truth, and you may lose those friends when you say the truth. But anytime they want to hear the truth, they know where to come to. They will come to you. Every time, they will come to you. Every time. Amen. And that's one thing that everybody that's close to me knows. If you're around me, I'll be telling you, I say difficult things to people. And that's one thing God has blessed me with. I can tell you tough things in love, but I can tell you. Things that nobody else will tell, I will just tell you, this is what I think about this matter. You are not doing this right. I can't. Now, I won't say it in a very
antagonistic way. No, but I'm going to tell you sincerely. You know what I'm saying? I've had friends that I, you know, well, let me not get into these are ministry matters. But then, you must make sure that you don't tell lies. Secondly, don't yield your tongue to gossip. Okay? Gossips. Speak to people and don't speak about them. Do not have a habit of speaking about people. Rather have a habit of speaking to people. Okay? Titus 3, verse 1. Paul, writing to his son, warned him about this kind of people. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready for to every good work, to speak evil of no man. To speak evil of no man. You should not spend your life speaking evil of people. They must not slander anyone. That's what NLT says. They must not slander people. Gossip is to slander people. To talk bad about people. Another problem with gossip, gossip mars people's reputation. It can destroy people's image. Tarnish their image. Because they are saying things they are not even sure about. And things that you cannot even defend, you cannot tell people back face to face. You're saying crazy things. Did you hear that? This person, don't be like that. That's the wrong way to use your tongue, and it can ruin many relationships. Is someone following me at all? Proverbs 11 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets. He that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. NLT said, a gossip goes around telling secrets. But those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. A gossip goes around telling secrets. And if you are a gossip here, the first thing you should know is that if you are a gossip, you are not even fit for ministry. Because in ministry, people will tell you things about them and you must keep it and die with them. Gossips are not fit for the ministry. They must be worked on. You must learn to know what you say. And then say good things about people. Now look at what I think. If what you want to say about people, if they're bad, but they're actually true, think about this. What will saying those things do? What impact will it have? Let's even assume those things are true. Now, secondly, if you are not sure of them, why are you saying them? And that's, well, there are two categories. Say, I'm so sure he did it. So why are you talking about it? How will it help the situation? Is that the love you learned in Christ Jesus? Have I not told you that small minds discuss people? It takes a small-minded person to be talking about people up and down. I heard that he did it. Did you hear? Look, I heard that guy was taking in church. He was and then even say this to you. If you have friends that your friendship is built on other people, you don't have a friend. You have a gossip mate. There are people that every time they meet, if they talk for 100 times, 95% are talking about people. They are heard that this person. You know the problem? Once there is nobody to gossip about again, your friendship ends. Once, so your friendship will be alive as long as there is a subject to gossip about. I get what I'm saying now. So what times do you guys discuss your visions? What time do you guys discuss your plans? If I'm going to discuss that, I'm a pastor. And I work with pastors. Yes, I talk about people. I talk about people's problems. But anytime you see me discussing people's problems, we are finding a solution. How do we help this matter? I know what I'm talking about. Somebody comes to me and says, sir, I've not eaten for the past 3 days. And I bring it up to somebody and say, this girl has not eaten. What do we do? Do we contribute money? You have money? Let's do 10,000. That's what we're talking about. We're trying to solve a problem. And not to discuss how will she eat. Even the Bible says there is no food for a lazy man. Anytime you discuss people and that conversation does not lead to providing a solution for whatever you are discussing, you are gossiping. I say that again. Every time you talk about people's problem and the end point of the conversation is not let us find a way to fix this, you are a gossip. You are a gossip. And if you cannot find a way, then don't talk about it. Go and pray. Go and pray. A gossip goes around telling secrets. Saying crazy things. That's why one of the worst friends to have in your life is a gossip. Because you don't have secrets. Because anything you tell the person will say it. You know, there are people that don't gossip, but they reveal secrets when they are happy or when they are angry. Once the emotions are high, don't tell anybody. Proverbs 16, verse 28. Let's look at that again. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A froward man soweth strife. A whisperer separated children. This is very bad. People that put up NLT, people that whisper, a whisperer can separate the closest friends. NLT, please. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. And let me even say to you, you want to preserve your friendship or any kind of relationship, take my advice. Never believe anything any human being says until you can talk to that person. And this is how I've kept my flow with every church member here. I hear things about you. Either I do not believe them, or I will ask you, is it true that you did this? That's why I said earlier on that I'm a person of words. I believe what people say to me. Because gossip suppresses the best of friends. Gossip has suppressed the best of father and son. Gossip has suppressed the best of husband and wife. The best of friends, gossips. Gossip. Now, you will be a foolish person to allow a gossip mess with friendship that you've built over the years. Don't be that stupid. Don't be like that. You tell me this about someone, I'm going to ask the person, is it true? When did I learn to do that? Well, I've always been like that, but in recent times I became more like that. Because I've seen people, you know, when I share these stories, I can't give you details, but I've seen things. I've seen people come and sit down and lie. Now, not that they lied about their matter. They sit down and forge a story that never happened and tell me about somebody. Like something that never happened. You say, is that where you got me? But you say, it's not true. You now come up to them and say, Pastor, that's not how I said it. I've had one call to my house talking about someone, her best friend. They were having issues. I was talking. So I just pulled my phone. She didn't know what I was doing. I was already calling the friend. And I put it on loudspeaker. I said, hey, your friend is listening. What did you say? And right there on the phone, they started, it's not, so he said, it's a lie. I was just calm. That was the last she ever came to me with that kind of matter. And you know, be careful how you believe gossips. Because nothing about gossips, if I come and tell Pastor Dave now that Pastor did something because they are quarreling. Now, and maybe we are quarreling. I've quarreled with Pastor. I can't, but did you know that? Blah, blah, blah. And then you believe me. When I had a conversation with Pastor Izu, I'm going to tell Pastor, do you even know that? That time. Because I'm not going to say I told you anything. I'll tell him what you said. Do not have this habit of talking about people. Don't like talking people. If you hear me discussing people, I'm discussing their plans, the big things they've done in life, how they succeeded, how God is using them. Yes. And I can tell you, come to my personal space, you know this is true. I don't have time for anybody. I don't have time to discuss people. I'm actually a very busy person. The things I want to do in life and ministry, they keep me too busy to begin to talk about you. No. Don't separate friends. Don't yield your tongue to gossip. Are you following me? Because these things will mar people's reputation and their pride, and sometimes it cannot be repaired. You know, don't be in a hurry to talk. You know, recently, Donald Trump won election. Some of you are happy, some of you are sad. I don't really know. I don't care. Okay, that's by the way. I'll still say something about that election and some things that I learned following the election, because the church in the U.S. actually showed us an example of what the church in Nigeria could have done. The likes of Kenneth Copeland had an all-night prayer watch during the election. Many ministries. Study for another day. But then, there is a great man of God many years ago. He's gone now. But he prophesied many years ago about the coming of Donald Trump. Yes. Many years ago. And before he died. I don't want to call his name. Very popular man of God. talked about what will happen, talked about how the election will go, talked about the fact that he will, that in everything has happened, he now prophesied that he was going to rule for 2 terms. Right? And now, eventually Donald Trump did 1 term and they removed from power many ministers. You know, then I call him that, say something like this on his page. Many ministers came up and were talking that these are fake men of God with fake prophecies. Now the man has won election. It means that prophecy was not actually fake. Now, are they going to come out now to say, well, I'm sorry, oh. So the people you labeled fake, when you find out that they're not fake, I hope you can go back to all the people you spoke to and tell them they're not fake. Your friend that you lied about and you said those things because you thought they were true. Now that you found that they're not true, have you gone back to all those people you spoke to and tell them it's not correct, it's not correct, it's not correct? Will you do that? And then sure they go to everyone they've spoken to too. Sometimes the effect of gossips cannot be repaired. Sometimes. It's what I'm saying now. Sometimes. I heard that pastor did this. You tell it to 5 people. Then after like 2 years, find out that it's not actually true. Hope you will locate all those people you spoke to. And ensure they locate all the people they spoke to. And ensure those people they spoke to will locate all the people. I'm telling you. Sometimes this cannot be fixed. And that's why loose talkers are not good friends. Loose talkers are not good friends. Loose talkers are not good at anything. They're not good friends, they're not good members, they're not good employees, they're not anything. Why will you even say things you've not verified? I'll come to this on Sunday. Why will you even say things you've not verified? And even when you verify it, why are you saying it? What is the point? What are you trying to achieve? How will that help the situation? And I'm saying so that you can realize that you're a gossip and ask for help. Because my judge keeps saying, I was just saying in my mind, you are gossiping, that's what I'm doing. And I'm not saying it to condemn you so that you can change. I had to have this conversation with my ministers. That was 2 years ago. You guys remember, right? There was something that was happening. And they were innocently discussing some matters. And I called them and I said, stop this. This is gossip. This is gossip. I get what I'm saying. It is not, let me just say my mind, because sometimes why gossip is bad and speaking too quickly is bad. Sometimes you actually don't have the full story. Sometimes you don't actually have the right perspective of matters. Do you know there are people you hate today? Not because they've done anything directly to you, but because of what somebody close to you said they did to them. Let me tell you my general rule. I actually don't have any perspective. Okay, let me put this way. I don't believe anything about you because of what people said about you until I interact with you. You have a friend. You guys have been friends for 12 years. She has never stolen your money. Not once. Never. Then a friend of yours comes to say she stole her money. With proof. Right? Now, I'm not saying your friend is lying. I'm saying, how come she has never stolen your money? So, do not believe it. Do not doubt it. But ask questions. Go ask your friend. Did you steal this person's money? But say that's not my asking question. I have proof. Stop having proofs. You see, proofs are no longer a proof of anything. Because Potiphar's wife had Joseph's singlet and boxers on her hands as proof. Joseph was naked outside. So how can you prove you did not go to do anything? It's not about proof, sir. Ask questions before you destroy your marriage of 12, 13 years worth of one story and wake up 2 years after to find out that those things were not true. And I can start saying, most times, especially your beggar has moved on. I don't know people I know that would have been married today if they didn't listen to rubbish. After like 6 months, the father said, oh, it was not true. Say, you know, I'm sorry. I just didn't mind what you say. And you say, why will it be you that Satan is using mightily like that? To cause trouble. Amen. I know you are happy. You should be. Have you read Proverbs 18, verse 18? How many scriptures? So I'm just trying to read one I can read. Solomon was very big on this. The Lord caused contentions to cease and parted between the mighty. Put up like NLT. Casting lots can end arguments. Okay? Okay. No, I will look at the scripture later. James 4:11. Quickly, so far time. James 4, verse 11. Glory to God. Let's read together. James 4, verse 11. Are you ready? Let's go. Read it like you mean it. Give me an answer of that verse. Are you here? Glory to God. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. The question is, you are not a judge over anybody's character, anybody's life. Now, let me even say this to you. There are some things that a person's father, or a person's mother, or a person's pastor, or a person's spouse can say about the person that you cannot say about the person, because you are not in a position to help the person. Do you know what I say now? So some things are not actually your business. So deal with gossips. I've already said gossip separates friends, it slanders people, and all. Amen. It destroys relationship. Proverbs 25, verse 23 with NLT. It destroys relationships. Amen. 25:23. As surely as a north wind brings rain, so a gossiping tongue causes anger. A gossiping tongue causes anger. Are you still here? You know, yes. Chapter 26 and verse 20 of Proverbs. It says, I like this. Fire goes out without wood. Quarrels disappear when gossips stop. Are you following me? So you can actually measure relationship. Mind what you say about people. Start restraining your tongue. Learn the habit of saying, I don't have an opinion. What do you think about this guy? I don't know. I don't think anything. Because the only thing about gossip, if someone is a gossip, gossips have no boundaries. Even you can be gossiped about. If I'm a gossip, I don't have any boundary. I can talk about anybody. So when it is your case tomorrow, I will also talk about you. So that's why we normally say the person telling you about someone is actually telling somebody about you. Because gossips have no boundaries. They can talk about anybody and anything. I get what I'm saying? Now you reason them. Somebody is gossiping about his father to you, or gossiping about his pastor to you. You are a member of the church. If someone is not afraid to talk about pastor, you think he's afraid to talk about you? Have you ever thought about that? He's not afraid to talk about pastor, or he's not afraid to, he's afraid. So if it means yourself, they will talk about you too. It's a matter of time. I can't forget, I tell it all the time. When someone caught, I can't forget that day. 2020, yes, we just finished church service in church. Old venue, I entered my office, I was trying to pack up, and they saw coming the conference call with some of my, you know, pastor's sons and all of that. Hello, Pastor Henry, how are you? Did you hear that? You know, have you seen this news that's making rounds? At that time, there were a lot of news about Pastor. And I said, well, I've not seen it. They said, I look at it, and I said, well, actually, I have not seen it, and I'm not going to see it. I don't want to know. They say, well, we understand what I say. Don't understand what I say. I do not care about it. Actually. Now, it's not me you discuss that with. And they said, well, we understand what they say. They even started saying, you know, you may not really understand. I say, actually, I don't understand. And that was the end of the conversation. Now, what's the difference today? But you know, fathers are actually very observant people. The day I spoke with my pastor over that matter, because I tell you, until you discuss with people, you can never have the full perspective of any matter. Because you know the problem with such stories. You know, I was LMP last year, I was talking about aspersions, right? Problem with those stories is that nobody actually tells the story to fault himself. So people always tell you the part of the story they want you to hear until you hear from the both ends. You've not heard the full story, no matter how much you believe the other person. Are you what I'm saying? So if you come to my office, my wife is this. After I say, you, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. No, yeah. Are you what I'm saying? Say, this is my friend. I said, what did you do? I swear, or just on my own. You know, it's children that tell those kind of stories. He said, my daddy, Chieko Emeka beat me. He said, what did you do? That's not true now. And that's how people tell stories. Why did your marriage end? I married a beast. Why did the relationship end? He was a chronic cheat. I'm not saying it's a lie. I'm saying, what role did you, what role did you play? Say nothing. He will just do, I'll come back and I'll give him food and he will eat. And I was talking to somebody, and I said, sometimes what you did wrong is that you did not do anything. Now think about it. Your husband is doing something bad and then you didn't do anything. What I didn't do anything means he just comes back, you give him food. Is there anything? Fine, give him silent treatment for 3 weeks. You see, you did something, sir. But that silent treatment is more painful than domestic violence. Silent treatment? Ah! Sometimes it's better they slap you. Are you hungry? No. Are you okay? Fine. Did I tell you there's a problem? No, there's no problem. You just gonna come. Good morning, sir. You carry. I love your pros in what I'm talking about. Good morning, sir. Is there a problem? No, there's no problem. He said, how was work? Fine. He said, but you be quiet. Did I tell you there's a problem? I'm really cool. I'm okay. 1 week, 2 weeks. After everything, I didn't do anything. No, he just left. Okay, he should have left 2 years ago. Because you're actually dealing with it. You know, the point is, relationship will now begin to mend when both of us will own up to what we did wrong. Because when people tell stories, I didn't do anything. He was a beast. That man was a beast. Okay, I admit. What did you do? I was just the beauty. He was the beast. I didn't do anything. We'll just go and come back. Every time he'll be beating me, I'll just be calm and saying, don't kill me, don't kill me. It's a lie. So, you know, I'm saying this to say, when you begin to hear stories about people, nobody will actually tell you the full story. So, do not be quick to believe gossips. Because the day you'll be privileged to hear the full story, you might have damaged so much. I say no matter I trust people, nobody can tell you a story and implicate yourself. Nobody. They can only, if they implicate, they'll just implicate small. So that you believe they're sincere. You guys know the game. They just tell you, I won't say I wasn't wrong. I was also wrong in some way. They just want, they're trying to look for ways to convince you. Do not have opinions about people that have not done anything to you. Some of you hate people that you've never met. You hate man of God you've never seen with your eye. Because somebody said something about them. Some of you, in fact, how few before you met me, you hated me? Anybody like that? Raise your hand. I won't beat you. Because somebody said something to you. Now, is that when you now meet the person and talk with the person for like, to say, ah, this is not connected. Is this the person that they said? That's the problem. I don't get the point. And there are people I've actually been tempted to hate and I've never met them. They will talk. I say, are you serious? Then you now find that when you see the person's message playing, you say, chai, people are deceived. Wait until you meet the person and talk with them and interact with them. You will now see that there is more. Don't yield your tongue to gossip. Amen? I have many more things to say. So rise above gossip. Amen. Each of us must personally make a determined choice and be disciplined that we will not engage in or participate in gossip in any way. We should not descend to such a low level of conversation and activity. Even when we inadvertently find ourselves in places and situations where people gossip, we should decide not to participate and not engage in it, and actually leave those places. The Bible talks about in Psalm 1 about people who sit in the seat of the scornful. So actually, my pastor used to say jokingly to us, you can sin with your buttocks, just by sitting in some place you're not supposed to sit. Are you what I'm saying now? Do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Where is the scornful? People that scorn people. Don't sit around them. People that slander people, don't sit around them. Amen. Amen. You must make a covenant with your tongue. Glory to God. Psalm 39 verse 1. I said I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. Amen. So restrain yourself and refuse to say certain things. That's the second thing that can mess your relationship. And quickly, the third thing that can mess your relationship are hurtful words. Hurtful words. Words that hurt. Words, hurtful words. You see, if you can remove lies from your relationship and remove gossip from relationship and remove hurting words, words that can hurt people, you're going to have a successful relationship. I put this one last because it's actually very serious. Many friendships have been destroyed because of things that were spoken in anger, things that we did not mean. And after they say, "Don't mind me, I didn't mean it." Colossians 4 verse 6. Colossians 4 verse 6, very quickly. Let's read it together once it comes on the screen. Are you there? Let's go together. Let your grace, let your speech rather, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Give me an out of this verse. There are words that pierce. NLT, please. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. So what does your tongue do? Give me amplified. What does it do? Are you a wise man? You can see it from this verse. There are those who speak rashly, like the piercing of a sword. Once they are angry, they say things that hurt people. And you know, recently in my house, I was just teaching the people that were in my house. I was talking about temperaments and all of that. And I told them, I said, I stopped teaching. How many of you know about temperaments? The four temperaments. Do you know? I stopped teaching on temperaments in the year 2017, actually. How many of you have heard me teach on temperaments? If you heard from me, I stopped teaching in 2017, I stopped. Because one day the Lord said to me, why are you discussing, why are you telling people who they are in the natural? Instead of you to be telling them who they are in Christ. That's why I stopped. Because people use temperament as an excuse to be stupid. So why do you talk rashly to people? Say, you know me now. I'm a sanguine. And sanguines, we don't think about what we say, we just talk. So when you're talking to me, I say, let me remind you, I'm a melancholy. So melancholies, we don't forgive. So when you speak rashly as a sanguine, I will not forgive you as a melancholy. Cholerics are wicked. When you speak rashly as a sanguine, I will be wicked to you like a choleric, because we must all act our temperament. Don't use your own as an excuse. Say, you know, when we are angry, we talk too much. When we are angry, we keep silent treatment. I hope you can take what you are giving. Do not be rash in your relationship. Just anything, just pa, pa, pa. You know that actually, I've heard some Christians talk, and Jesus Christ. Like I've heard some Christians talk. I swear, things you can never. I mean, things you see in Nigerian movie. I'm not joking. Ashawo, ashawo, Christian squad. I'm not joking. How say? Like, there are levels. There are levels to these things. They see your big head. Just they go. Christians. Hurtful words. And after we cover it with, I was angry. James 1:19 gives us a very simple instruction. Slow to anger. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If you can be swift to hear and you will be slow to speak, it's easy to be slow to wrath. Do not be quick to say things when you are angry. Do not be quick. Think about the things you want to say when you are angry. I've taught this many times in this church. Anger can even make you speak a truth in such a way, right? In such a way that the truth will hurt. The truth is bitter. Truth is bitter doesn't mean you hurt people. And sometimes you are trying to speak a truth and you are speaking a lie. Someone, your husband did not give you money for food. He left not giving you money for food. And you are very angry. And you are not someone that thinks about your word. You're attacking. Say, you, stingy man, akagom. That is labeling someone. It's a different thing with, babe, you woke up this morning, you left, you didn't even give me money for food. You are discussing a matter. You are discussing an issue. But stingy man, you are labeling the person. You don't ever bring money for food. That is a label. That's a label. You don't ever bring money for food. Now, you've been married to this man for 3 years. 3 years is how many days? 1,000+ days. Now, maybe there are 60 days, self, in 3 years that he didn't give you money for food. In the past 2 months. But he has been giving money for food in the other 900+ days. But those days he didn't bring money, he has become a stingy man. Stingy man. After everything, you now say, I'm sorry. You know the thing about words? When they come out, they can't go back. Yes, we must learn forgiveness, but they've come out. Slow to speak. Don't be in a hurry to start saying how you feel. Don't tell me I can say my mind. You know me. When it's like this, I say everything I want to say. That's not something to brag about. That's something to be ashamed of. God forbid that there's a day you come to my house and you hear me and my wife talking. I say, idiot, yeah, bro, I'm going to check it. I don't even know how I ended. God forbid. I don't even know how I ended up in this kind of marriage. Do you know that if you're a married man here, there is a possibility that there are days you wake up and you wonder, how did I marry this person? I hope you know. No, they won't raise their hand. Don't raise your hand. But they know it's true. There are days you may feel like that. This person has done rubbish. And you wonder, how often? Am I sure I prayed those 3 months? Pastor said I should pray. Maybe it's because of that one day I missed. Now, there are days you might feel that way. But it's just a feeling. The foolish is now to utter it and say, how on earth did I marry this kind of animal? Then after everything you say, I'm sorry. Apology accepted. But words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have gone into motion. It can't be like that. Slow to speak. Even in anger, slow to speak. Even when you are hurting, slow to speak. One of the things that God has helped me master, I say this all the time, I can freely express my anger towards anybody and you will not hear any curse word from me. Yes. I can tell you, I don't like what this is wrong. You don't treat us like, even yesterday, last week, I had an issue with someone. Not just me. Me and some of the ministers in the office. Came to play some games. I stood up, I said, you can't do that. I don't take that. But what I did not now do is to say, oh, but idiot! But I was really, we are expressing, making our point. So I'm not saying you can't make your point, but please, slow to speak. Know what to say. Don't say things, because have you noticed that a quarrel can start at A, and by the time we are getting to O, we don't even know what started off that quarrel at first. What we are now dealing with are the words that were said in the process. So that's why you said, my head is like fish. Now, by the time we make progress, we have forgotten even what started. Have you ever quarreled with someone? One day you just say, what are we even quarreling about again? You know, I don't even know where to start from. Because we are dealing with words that have been spoken. Husbands tell their wives, I've heard wives say to their husband, look at me, I will poison you. Realize to me. And she said, I was angry. Even me as the pastor. I said, madam, are you sure you are angry? Or please search her bag. Let's be sure she's not, you know.
Say, now, how can you even believe I'm going to poison you? It's just because I said that. And
how can I believe it? How can I be? You said you will poison somebody. I will show you that you married a Rima. How?
By giving me money. Rima and give the women money. That's what you should actually do. But no, that's not the context you are talking from. You mean, today you will know I married a Rima. No.
You know, you must learn. And do you know this doesn't matter? You might keep saying you don't mean it. Well, I'm beginning to believe that some don't really mean what they say when they're angry.
Do you believe that? I'm beginning to believe that too. But it is hard to believe.
I actually know people. Some people actually, that people that talk without thinking. And so that's how you know they didn't mean it, that when they are done quarreling with you, but then they wake up the next day, they are gisting with you freely as though they are not the ones that said those things they said yesterday. But that doesn't still justify that rubbish. Means you're an immature Christian. Means you're a baby. Right? It means you should be dumb for some time. So I cannot believe that the reason why babies should not talk from birth so that they can learn how to use their tongue. Because if you let babies start talking from when they are 6 months, they will say certain things. Now you are up to 18 and yet you are still talking like a child. I'll say it the way it is. Stop saying things the way they are. Say things the way you are in Christ. Not the way they are. That's the thing. You are still acting from your natural personality. I'm a choleric. I'm a sanguine. The Lord told me, stop teaching on that. He said, teach on the fruit of the Spirit. Tell people who they are in Christ, not who they are in their temperament. So I stopped. That's why I've never put up a message. It's 2017 and now, not once. Not once. And that's how, stop acting according to who you are. Do you know the thing? If I stand here and tell all of you to come and predict my temperament, I can tell you sincerely, all of you are going to say the 4 different temperaments at different times. Depending on how close you've been to me, depending on where you met me. I told somebody in my class in my school days to state my temperament. The person said I'm a phlegmatic. Why? Because in class, I don't say nothing. In class, you don't even believe I talk. I'm either at the back or just seated. After left, I carry my bag and just go home. That's me. But he said, your own is used to predict the phlegmatic. I said, yes, you're correct. One even said, I don't ask you to take child woman, no. Like this today, you know they follow any woman talk. I told him, I said, I have more women in my life than you will ever have in your life. And I mean, I was correct. And at the time, I was living inside 2 girls' schools. I was pastoring almost everybody under me, about 200 people are women. That guy can never have 200 women in his life at any time. You know, all of you are in my life, many of you. But he said, it's not possible. You know the truth of the matter? As you begin to walk with the Lord, you will become whatever you need to become wherever you find yourself. And not actually who your temperament said you are. If you get to a place where you need to actually talk and be vocal, the Holy Ghost will empower you, become vocal. When it comes to a place where you need to keep quiet, the Holy Ghost will empower you, keep quiet. You don't act according to your temperament, you act what is meant to be acted at the moment. So that you don't get to a place and they're intimidating you, and the Holy Ghost actually wants you to speak out. He say, no, me and temperament, we are phlegmatic, we don't speak out, we just stay quiet. Something is wrong. I don't know what I'm saying. I feel what I'm saying. Now, or you got the place where you're supposed to keep quiet. But there are places they can be doing things to you, and the Holy Ghost just say, keep calm. And just watch. He said, No, Lord, don't quarrel. You can't match my head and I'm quiet.
No. You don't act your temperament, you act the fruit of the Spirit.
So when there is hurt, when there is anger, when the temper is very high in your home, don't act what you feel. Act the word. Act the word. Act the word. Are you following me? So that's how to use your tongue. Act the word. Proverbs 29 verse 20. Let's begin to wind down. Proverbs 29 verse 20 quickly. Proverbs 29 verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. Than of him. Everybody hasty with words. There is more hope. And actually, it's not just Bible. I believe it from my heart. Everybody says things very hastily. There are some trainings I've given people around me. Very heavy trainings. I just have some sons and daughters who talk too much. And they always come around. One of them, I said, you're going to be here for the next 3 days. Every day you come, once you get here, sit down. Don't speak until I speak to you. Sometimes they stay in my house for 8 hours and I just, no matter what I say, don't contribute. Anything we're discussing, don't just keep quiet. See, I'm trying to subjugate them. No, I'm not telling you. I just say, just stay and look. So on Sunday, I'm going to talk, say a few things around the power of silence. You know, there are places that you should not talk. Are you aware? I'll give you an example. When two elders are discussing, don't contribute. These are places you must be quiet. Two elders are discussing. When I went to see my pastor, I was with another minister of their, than the same age grade and what have you. And they were talking. And we were talking about things about. Now, the fact that my pastor said, because I wasn't supposed to, he said, come up and sit here. So I sat there and heard them talk. That's enough privilege. Now, the first thing to say is to say, who asked you? That's a foolish son. You know, that things you do, your father doesn't have to talk to you. They just look at themselves and maybe hid all these things in their heart. Just give it to their heart and they know this one, no hope. A man, hasty, he was giving like NLT. There is more hope of a fool than him. You live in, he said, there is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Can I add, under the guise of I was angry. Sorry now. So with how you know me, you really believe I can do all those things I said I would do. But you said you would do them. That you show me shege. I don't want shege in my life. So if you say you show me shege, it means you're actually saying I should get out of your life. Mind what you say. And with the coming of social media, it's becoming more serious. That people get angry and they begin to rant on Facebook and on their status. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Is that how childish you are? It's better you talk to even one person so you can talk to the person that was angry. Social media will not forget those things you said. Just going to rant on Facebook. I'm just going to pour out my heart. And you know the point? There are many jobless people in Nigeria. So what's going to pour your heart? People in your comment section saying, say it. Express it. Say the way it is in your heart. Two people's marriage are having issues. The woman or the man is complaining on social media. People on the comment section shouting. You know the problem? Those people who are shouting on the comment section have more terrible marriages than that couple has. But are keeping their own within themselves and fixing it. But they're encouraging that couple to say it. Speak out. Say the way it is. I get what I'm saying now. Social media is the last place you share your problem. Now, we're not saying people should not express when they are angry. I'm only saying mind what you say while you are expressing that you are angry. So that at the end of the day, we can know that you are just saying what you said because you are angry. That's why, that's terrible thing people do when they're angry. They begin to make commitments. Heavy commitments because they're angry. Commitments like, I will never call you on the phone again. What's bringing that? I will never call on the phone. And tomorrow you call. Why do you make communities because you're angry? I will never. If I ever, I think it's because I'm caring for you. If I ever show you care again, call me bastard. You're just happy that you don't have somebody that is very brutal. Tomorrow you come to care, and they say, bastard. You say, why? You say, fuck. What are all those commitments for? Why not just say that you are angry? Why not just say? That's why there are people that are angry. Tomorrow when you start telling them they say certain things, they tell they didn't say it. Because actually they feel they didn't say it because they said it in the spur of the moment. Sir, but is it possible to actually be angry? It used to do me. I will teach you on Sunday. Because I told any message that does not show you how is an incomplete message. So on Sunday I'm going to show you how. How I'm going to begin to show on Sunday how you can get a hold of your tongue. Because actually from God's word, I saw it in God's word. That a man can actually hold his tongue and control what he says. I agree what I'm saying. No matter how he's feeling.
So look at that. There is more hope for a fool. Give me Amplified Classic than for a man that speaks without thinking. Amplified Classic. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a so self-confident fool than for him. Just because he talks carelessly. That man of God, fake. He doesn't know what. He doesn't know what. For someone you've only listened to 1 minute of his reels on Facebook, he doesn't know what. How many messages of someone have you listened to draw a conclusion that doesn't know the word? How many books of that man have you read to know he doesn't know the word? Are you what I'm talking about? How dare you? Don't say hurtful things to people. Proverbs 15 verse 1 tells us a soft answer turns away wrath. This scripture has come true for me many times. No matter how angry you are, no matter how angry someone is, if you say the right words, give a soft answer, anger must die down. I've told you, it is not the action of Mr. A that starts a fight, it's the reaction of Mr. B. So no matter how angry I am, say, your husband is flaring up. That's not the time to flare up to. Say, if you talk, I'm going to talk. If you are my feminist, if you talk, I will talk back. Or the men, you already know that women talk. Well, I don't like saying this women talk because I don't want it to be an excuse for women. But then women talk. Yeah. Now, she's already talking. Then you. What should you do at that point? A soft answer. Don't give silent treatment, because silent treatment is not a soft answer. Silent treatment even causes more anger than hurtful words. It's better that I'm talking and you're talking back at me than that I'm talking and you're just quiet. Why did you do this? After talking, I will not keep quiet. You keep quiet. I'll start again. Is it that you did not hear what I was saying? That one is more terrible. But someone is already angry and is high. He said, I'm sorry. He said, every time I'm sorry, he said, I'm really, really sorry. It's not actually the way it is, but I'm sorry. Continue saying that because, you see, madna bada yala at the same time. Yeah. It has preserved many friendships and relationships. Do you know that people actually, even as a pastor, people walk into my office angry sometimes. Maybe they've they are in the spirit of rebellion that day. Pastor, I'm going to tell her what is in my mind. Now, you think I'm going to talk back. I'll just be calm. That's the most calm person you've ever seen. After I say, okay, fine. Are you doing what you want to say? Sit down, let's talk. Now, sometimes when they are shouting that way, I'm saying, what's giving this guy the gut? In Apuala, like, are you okay? But all of them is in my mind. You're not seeing it in my mind. I'm just very calm. Sit down like so. So what are you actually trying to say? After the whole thing, after the conversation, person will now say, I'm sorry for how I started. I should have. My own anger will now start. So you had the guts to come into my office to come and talk to me this way. You know, there is wisdom in gentle answers. No matter what. It's not when it's boiling. You say, let me tell you, you know, shall pass me. If you go low, I will go lower. Please, if they go low, please go higher. You are still with cast in heavenly places. Far above principalities, don't go low. And it is, if you go low, I will go lower. That will make you fight in the park. Because conductor must go low. And if conductor goes low, and you go low, you know what you understand? You cannot go lower than some of those people. Because they are at the lowest. So if you want to go low with them, all of you will dirty your clothes. Because they have, it's like telling a man on the street that has not eaten an agbo, that has not eaten for the past 3 weeks, that if you go low, go lower. He's already low. So once he goes low and you want to go lower, you guys will be buried. Okay, if they go low, don't go lower. Be who you are in Christ. If you call me an idiot, me too, I'll call you an idiot too. It's not only you that have tongue to say. Imagine as you're calling an idiot. Idiot! Behind is the person you're following up for church. And say, brother. He just said, let me tell you this. Is it you? You now start explaining.
But you are the man now. Is it okay? Mind what you say. Sometimes when people are angry and you learn the part of a gentle answer, when people come, they are wondering who is he quarreling with. And not because I ignore him, I'm just very calm. It's okay, sir. It's okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I read one stuff somewhere. I know it's fiction, sha. A man came to the father and told the father, I want to get married now. And the father said, are you sure? He said, yes. The father said, tell me sorry. And he said, why? He said, say sorry. So what do I say? Just tell me sorry. He said, okay, I'm sorry. Mean it. He said, I'm really very sorry. He said, then you are ready for marriage. If you cannot apologize for nothing, they are not ready for marriage. So look at your neighbor and tell the person sorry. You know, sometimes for real, sometimes in marriage, that's all you need to keep the marriage. I'm sorry. Because sometimes that shout, you don't even know why, what's causing this shout exactly. Because you know why you don't know what's causing the shout? The thing paining the person is not actually a big deal for you. Why are you shouting? Just like when you see a man who lives in a public yard growing up, and then you say he did not flush toilets and you are shouting. Why are you angry? So sometimes people are angry. You might not actually know exactly why they are angry. Now, you actually don't have to understand their anger. Their anger does not have to make sense to you. But a soft answer will end that stuff. Then after everything, we talk. Don't wait until anger makes sense to you before you apologize. Are you what I'm saying? The nature of my heart does not have to make sense to you. But just say sorry. Fine. It's okay. I'm sorry. You're a fool. Sorry. Sorry. Most times when you learn this and I'm saying, the person eventually comes back to apologize at the end of the day when they find themselves. So, I think that's just that. Are you blessed? So, I think I just want to say one thing. Never curse people, no matter what. It's still under hot for us. Never curse people. Your tongue is for blessing and not for cursing. 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. Your tongue should be for blessing people and not for cursing them. 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing. Not knowing that you are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. Never use your tongue to curse. And pastors, please. Ministers, never curse, no matter what. Never use your tongue to curse people. All this, if you leave our church, there is a covering. If you leave this covering, please don't do that. Don't do that. People will leave your church and they will prosper. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Don't curse people. If you leave me in sickness, follow no sickness, they will do well. When people leave you, bless them. Bless them. I've said it many times. If I train you in ministry, and for whatever reason, good or bad, you leave, I consider you a seed I've sown in the other person's ministry, and I will reap 7 of you back. What it means is 7 extra solid men will join after you go. So you don't leave that and say, let me say you'll prosper. Or you left this covering, this divine angelic covering. You're not the only covering on earth. You are even be canopy. People are rehouse. So don't curse people. Parents, don't curse your children for any reason. Don't do that. You know, I learned this the hard way. In my first year in school, somebody actually hurt me. A random person, I don't know. A taxi driver. I kept one morning, I was coming from Obe to inside school. They got my department, they stopped, and I had 500 naira note. It was in the morning, and it was also collect, was it 20 or be 30 naira from me then? And he said, hi, can you be giving me 30 naira, 500 naira note in the morning? It's early morning. I said, sorry, I got your change. He said, why do you have to get change from now? He said, let me see that money. He collected it from me and he drove off. Now, I know possibly what he expected was that in school now, I should come maybe to the school park and look for him. But I was hot. Like, I felt insulted. See, this man get mind. So where I was standing, I said, as you're living with that money, you will go down. And you will never rise above that, actually. And I went to my, I didn't bother him. I kept him in school. I never raised the matter. I'm sure he forgot it. I had to ask God, because later, every day I see that vehicle, it's parked at a mechanic. Tires. After that car packed up, it was in my third day or so that I saw that car packed up. And the Lord reminded me of that statement. And I saw the man just walks around careless. I had to meet him. And he said, do you remember me? He said, no. I said, you don't have to, but let me pray for you, actually. There are things you don't say. But I've tried that before. You know, somebody... I used to go to all these game houses. I went to play a game one day. After playing game, you know, how many of you play going to game houses? Oh, you guys are believers. It's okay. Now, I used to go to game houses. I was even born again then, but I used to go there once in a while. So I went there to play a game. After playing, the guy calculated, and I was so sure that this guy was overcharging me. And I was explaining to him. Now, we were trying to have a conversation, and he just went low. And the problem was, I started talking about my ministry. Pastor that can lie. Pastor that wants to use money. And I don't like those things. Play with another thing. Don't play. See this ministry thing? I gave up everything for it. Don't play with it. But he went there. The foolish, useless pastor. Never ashash. So, I was very young then. So, I just gave him, I didn't say anything again from them. I just brought out the money and gave him. Brushing my nose this time, I'm telling you, at least you witnessed this. I just gave him the money. And I looked at him, I said, your life will go down. And I was not telling you this calm as a pastor. Your life will go down. You will never rise above this. You will stay at this level forever. I said, get out, pastor. Amen, amen. I'm not joking. And that's the problem. So after like 2-3 weeks, I'd forgotten about that. I started coming to that place again, kept playing game. Doing after some months, I came there one day. I can't forget. I think I was there with Brochima. When does he play game? And this guy just said, play. After playing, I said, I want to go. He said, play again. I said, I have money. He said, play again. He said, play again. I kept saying, play again. After some time, I said, oh my God, I can't even play again, play again, play again. Our customers are waiting. He said, play again. Of course, he had informed his boss. He turned out that he was having issues in his life after many months. And he went to places, not church. White garments, native doctor, whatever. And they told him, there's somebody, a man of God, that placed a curse on you. And they played that in the back to him. So, he was now, after everything, he said, I see about this, I was playing game. I'm no man. Actually, I was no man. I didn't forget that incident. But words had gone forth, and it was not in his life. Now, I've learned as a pastor to never do that to anybody. Because I just spoke in the spur of the moment. Imagine he never had any contact to meet me again. Imagine there was no way to reach me again. Unless God helps him and brings him under a strong spiritual covering that understands spiritual authority very well, his life will waste like that. Just because I was brandishing my new creation status. I was bragging in my anointing. No, you don't do that. Never let people push you to a point where you start speaking, oh, your life will waste. Imagine if I'm still like that. Many of you by now, life would have wasted it, because at least I just look at that and say, you. you will never rise. Imagine that. The tongue of the pastor should be for blessing. You bless, you don't curse. And that's what the believer is. No matter what happens around you, never say, you left me after I was with you for 30 years. I will go naked swear for you, or go wear your clothes. Stop it. You are practicing idolatry in the name of Christianity. I go naked swear for you. I will snap you and post you on Facebook. They are naked swear for me, I will snap you and post you. No, sir. I get the point. No matter what people do, to never lend your tongue. Except I don't have a living God. If you succeed, I know where this kind of cause campaign is, when that person eventually succeeds. Like when the thing did not now work. And I just told you two now that worked. What if I say that nothing happened? Maybe after telling the guy, you will never rise higher than this. The next week he buys a car. Don't get yourself into another kind of trouble. Use your tongue for blessing. Are you here? I'm actually teaching from Romans 12 verse 14. Give it on the screen. Use your tongue for blessing. Romans 12 and verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Bless and curse not. Use your tongue to speak the truth. Use your tongue to bless. Use your tongue finally to build and not tear down. Never tear anybody down. Either through gossip or through curses or through hurtful words. You know, gossips tear people down. Hurtful words tear people down. Never use your tongue to tear people down. Last scripture, Ephesians 4, 29. Let's close from there. Ephesians 4, 29. Use your tongue for blessing. Never tear people down. Make sure that every word that comes from your mouth will edify people. Say, let no corrupt conversation proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that my minister grace unto the hearers. Always make sure that when you speak, whether you are speaking to someone or you are speaking about someone, that it ministers grace to the hearers. It ministers grace to the hearers. Give me like NLT. Read it to me, everybody, in New Living Translation. Are you ready? Let's go. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So when next you want to say something, ask yourself, how will these words I say now encourage the person I'm talking to? How will it lift up this brother? How will it help this person? How will it build up? God is going to help you. On Sunday, we are going to see how we can do all of this. But then, before we get there, just go home and keep praying. And say to the Lord, you help me. But some of you have issues in these areas. Some of it is lie. Some of it is gossip. Some of it is abusive words. Things that you don't actually hurt when you are hurting. You're talking. Ask the Lord to help you. The Bible said, if any man can master and control his tongue, that is a perfect man. So you can actually be a perfect man by minding the things you say. Now we're talking about someone in the office. Some of the leaders remember this. Even recently, I'm trying to say this is a constant work. One of the ministers said something about a person, and I told the person, I said, don't do that. I said, stop, don't talk like that. It's a constant work. I get what I'm saying. Keep quiet, don't say that. Keep working on yourself. So that's the way you're growing in maturity. The fruit of the spirit you're actually getting better with is called self-control. You're minding what you say, saying what you must say, and what you must say them. Some of you, what I just shared with you will save your marriage. Some of you to save your courtship. Some of you to save your relationships. Some of you to save even your business partners. You just fall out with someone business-wise and you just start talking carelessly. Baba, you yourself, I don't even know how I joined you in this business. This is someone you've been doing business with for a very long time. Mind what you say. Do not be a loose talker, and the Lord will help you. In Jesus' name.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.